Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Awkward Fist Bump Productions. Today, we brought to you perhaps one of the greatest episodes that we've done yet. An interview with David from my season, as well as Dylan. Dylan was the inmate that got jumped because he chose to hang out with the wrong people. But he's also one of the most beloved inmates from 60 Days In. Period. I hope you guys enjoy the show. Now, a word from our sponsor.
Hey everybody, this is Mark, and this is Awkward Fist Bump Productions. Boom! Yes, sir! Oh, there we go. All right. So, if you like this channel, subscribe, like, share, throw stuff in the comments. So, I put a video up a couple of weeks ago, and, like, our freaking page exploded. In fact, I just looked at it, like, 20 people in the last 60 minutes have viewed the video about Dylan. So it's been a pretty doggone popular video. Well, now guess what we have today. Sorry, first of all, we do apologize that it took so long to get together. As many of y'all know, in the 60 Days In community, we had a tragedy. I do want to start the interview by saying, Nate, we love you, brother. Rest in peace. And you always have our love and respect, bro. And to the family, if you happen to be watching this, we love you. If you need anything, I'm sure all three of us would drop anything to come help you guys. So we love y'all. But anyway, so go ahead and introduce yourself, guys.
Everybody know who I am.
Yeah.
David. Last name Donkey. As y'all don't know, but y'all may know me as David Prince off of season 5 of 60 Days In.
Yeah, and I'm Dylan. I'm sure a lot of you guys know me. 60 Days In as well. A lot of you might know me as Wavy, but Dylan.
Okay, outstanding. So we really haven't caught up, man. So I told everybody before we pressed record, I said, let's keep the conversation to a minimum because, dude, we have so many questions for Dylan. You know, just I think we're going to break this stuff down, man, what really happened in the pod and stuff like that. And we're just going to go from there. So, Dylan. Hey, first of all, will you turn your video to where, do it like this a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Your phone. Yeah, I don't want you cut off. No, the other way, brother.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to cut off your head. Okay, there we go. Perfect. Yeah. Okay, so if y'all don't know, obviously we were together. We were all in the pod together. Dylan was the source of a lot of controversy in our pod. And so let's jump into that part of the conversation. All right, Dylan, did you get jumped in prison because you wanted to hang with the kinfolk?
No, I never really had problems when I got to prison, actually. There was a few things that happened with the Chicanos, but that was totally different. You know, that was me going out of my way and kind of starting shit, but. No, there wasn't no problem with the camp folks. None of the white boys tested me. It was cool.
So David will actually come to my bat here. You know, they told us when we were doing training, they said, listen, the white guys hang with the white guys, the black guys hang with the black guys, the Chicanos hang with the Chicanos, the Pisces. So that's why when, and I'll just go ahead and say it, you remember when I came up to you and it was at the dinner table and I was like, dude, I get it. I hate this place and I don't like it. But the reason why I encouraged you to hang out with the white guys had nothing to do with, I could care less who you hang out with. David will tell you I'm probably the least racist guy you'll ever know. But it was out of concern for you because I didn't want you to get jumped because I knew me and David would be out of there in the next couple of weeks. However, you were in the real, like going to the real system and we were just going on what we were trained.
Right. Yeah. No. It was more of me. You know. I knew what I was doing the whole time, and I do know a lot of brothers. You know what I mean. I grew up in Casa Grande. I am from a small town where it's racist, but basically that was me kind of just like setting the bar. Like I don't know if I made an impact on anybody, but that was me kind of going against the system, like pretty much showing people like I don't care, like. This racism stuff needs to stop, man. Like, that was just that's how I looked at it, man.
David, go ahead, bud. You look like you had some stuff to say. I want this to be a coffee table discussion. Yeah. It's not a formal question. Hey.
Oh, you. Hey, listen. You know what I'm about to say. Everything I want a motherfucker to say. You already know. I don't care about nothing. This is what I'm about to tell you, bruh. Like, I got so much heat, bruh, for how they edit this show from beginning to end, man. It's so crazy. So, like, one of the things that a lot of fans would do would be like, oh, you got Dylan beat up. You know, you knew better. You know, how could you let him join the kinfolk? They don't know, bro. Like, we had many conversations in regards right. to this and how you just wasn't with the whole, you know, white power and swastika symbols and all that. You wasn't with it. You feel me? And I told you, we sat down and talked. I said, bro, you know, if you do this, these are the ramifications. You like, yeah, hell yeah, I don't give a fuck about that. And that's what I try to tell people on the side. Like, when I do talk to people, I'll be like, listen, Dylan, if you meet him, right, he like, he hip, he trendy, he down, he cool, bruh. Like, I was like, bruh, I was like, between you, hell, even Josh, between you, Willie, Josh, Rocker, like, y'all was like, nah. Brothers for real, you feel me? That's the part they don't show. They don't show that. Like, me and Mark naturally was brothers in there, but I'm saying, like, inmate wise, like, bro, I go to war about you for real. And a lot of people, and let me say this real quick, granted, it's a TV show, so they're not meant to see everything. You know what I'm saying? That's what I try to get the point across to people. Like, they're producing a product. This is a multi-million-dollar company. They're trying to get their money back out of this tenfold. You know what I'm saying? So they.
Of course.
That was some, you know, do their thing in order to make it, you know, I guess in a sense, like, believable, you know what I mean? But to everybody that's out there, I want y'all to know, like, I didn't put Dylan in danger. Me and him had tons of conversations, and he made this choice strictly on his own. And I said, listen, and from what I was told with the kinfolk and the rules, is that we welcome everybody. That's what I was told. Kinfolk don't have no rules, for real. Technically speaking, we ain't have no rules. It was like, hey, you want to get out? Come on, sure, whatever. It is whatever. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I was told. That's what I was taught. That's what I didn't want to take the lead, but in some cases I had to. And so therefore, I had to know the rules. And one of the rules was we take everybody with open arms.
Yeah. And I know Josh actually told me. So I was coming from it from what Josh was telling me. He's, well, you know, the training said, hey, you hang with your race and this, that, and the third. And then I was also told that from Josh that Dylan, if you chose to affiliate, then you were going to get attacked once you got to the yard. Now, I don't know how much Josh actually talked to the yard, but I will tell you, according to him, once you got out there, man, you were going to get smashed. You were going to get, in fact, we were specifically told a life flight situation. And so internally, right. I'm trying to like be like, nah, dude, no, you need to hang with the white people. I could have cared less about that, bro. I really couldn't. But like, because I knew, okay, me and David are about to dip. You know, this guy is actually stuck in prison. So that was why I did what I did. It was more genuinely out of I really loved you. And I love you today like a brother. And I didn't want anything to happen to you.
No, for sure. And I get that. But what people need to understand is, like, I already had this decision set before I even met you guys. Like, David was kind of that spark to kind of, like, really push me to want to do it because the talks that we did have that they didn't show on TV. Like, they don't understand. If you're not in the system, like, you don't understand fully what's going on. So a lot of people for outside viewers, they're probably thinking like, oh my gosh, like he's going to get hurt. He might die. It's not even like that. Like when you know people in the prison system, my uncle's done over probably 20 years. Like I was raised in this stuff, you know, and I made that decision because I knew that when I made that decision, I'd be all right. So.
And I'm glad you were, man, because so everybody knows what happened. Is I was sitting on Instagram one day, I guess it was about 6 months ago, and this girl hits me up on DM, and she's like, hey, yo, Dylan, from your seasons trying to get in touch with you. And I was like, what? And in fact, I told David at the same time, what? He's trying to get in touch with us. So, man, we were all so super happy, dude. And then I hit that glitch I told you about where I was trying to feed JPay money. So JPay is the program that you use to send emails and stuff like that. And it wouldn't take it. And it wouldn't take it for like months, dude. So finally it took it. We were able to connect and just send each other emails for the last, what, month or so of your incarceration. And yeah, I was so super stoked. But have you seen any of the episodes, Dylan?
Yeah, I barely just started catching up on it. I haven't seen all of them, but I do have Netflix now, which it's on. So I've been kind of like catching up, and it's funny because like a lot of people will hit me up now and they'll be like, what's your input about it? Like, you didn't know the whole time, like David's a cop and Mark was undercover. And I was like, no, I didn't know that. But honestly, in my heart, I don't care. Like, that doesn't bother me because I know I am not going back to that system. You know what I mean? Like, my life has changed completely because of that 3 years that I did. And, man, I'm changed, man. It's awesome.
Well, you know, what's interesting is some people in the inmate population would consider what me and David did as rats. But if you actually watch, and David, you know, at no point did we ever rat out any inmate there. The only time that I ratted out inmates, and I don't know if you knew this, is they pulled me out for my final interview. So some crap went down. I don't know how much you knew about this. You were already gone, David, at this point, but Dylan is, they were starting to freak out. You remember all the Chicanos started moving out suddenly, and
yeah.
All of a sudden, Josh was like, you know, y'all are not allowed to interview anymore, this, that, and the other. So they pulled me out for an interview, and that's where you hear me say the famous lines of, man, I'm in a lot of danger. This is probably this interview is dangerous, and this, that, and the third. One thing that you don't see that they edited out is I told them, y'all have got to get Dylan out because of all the tension, and Josh was saying you were going to be jumped and this, that, and the other. I said, y'all have got to get him out. You know, they never moved him out, man. I was so right. Ticked off when you got jumped, bro.
When I seen that you had to fight
Ratchet,
bruh, and I saw that shit, and I said, hold on, wait a minute. Not being funny. The minute I left, bruh, everything went haywire, bro. I was so hurt because I didn't see that part. I literally had to watch the episode to see everything kind of crumble, and I'm like, damn. I'm like, man, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I was so overprotected of you because, bro, we met in intake. A lot of people don't know we didn't meet in the actual cell, bro. We met going in. And we spent time in intake, chopping it since day one. So I was, like, super protective of you because you was the first person that I really talked to coming in there. And you was just cool, bro. You ain't know me from a can of paint, bro, but you was just like, yeah, bro, we in this bitch, you know, the camera's coming in, and we shooting this shit, and I'm like, okay, like, it cool. And then when we ended up in the same pod together, bro, I feel like I had a friend in there immediately, out of nowhere, just from that little, how long did we spend in there? Maybe, like, it was some hours, though, bro. Some people spent some days.
It was four or five hours, I think.
Yeah, and we ended up going to the same pod, which was a blessing, man, because I had already made a connection with you. We were solid, so I was like, shit, fuck it.
Yeah.
I mean, so, no, but a lot of people don't know, man, I was protected over you, but I ain't let nobody, man, bro, anything that happened, people came to me, I was like, bro, Dylan, no, ain't nobody touching me, it's not about to go down, y'all gonna have to work with me, like, what's up, like, and ain't nobody want no smoke. They didn't, though. Right. Talk to me, but shit, if you want smoke, I'll get some. They like.
Yeah, and another thing that they didn't film was after that fight when they took me out to go up to G Unit, I actually seen Ratchet like through passing, and he was like, "Bro, it was nothing personal. Like it's my bad. Like I was just getting orders down from Josh, and he was like, we're cool though, and he fist bumped me, and then I went up to the holding tank. Like they don't show all that. You know what I mean? Like
I had to tell people." This shit was recorded 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a 50-minute block of 10 episodes, bro. Are you serious? Y'all really think y'all know what went down?
And out of that 50-minute block of 10 episodes, let's be honest, they spent time with Abner, they spent time in our pet. So out of that 50-minute block, we might get 10, 15 minutes through the entire episode. So you're talking about 10 episodes, maybe 15 minutes each, and you make – and listen, I'm not mad at A&E. I understand. They have to sell a billable product. How bored were we in our pod, honestly, 99% of the time?
Walking on laps for hours.
Bro, we got put on lockdown. Remember that time we got put on lockdown for no reason? And we was in there for like almost 48 hours. I read like 16 books, bruh. I was in there like, man, I can't read another book, man. What the fuck? Get us off this bitch. Who was the one Theo, man? He was like, he was an asshole, bruh.
Some shit. You talk about the Hispanic dude with glasses?
Hispanic dude, yeah.
What was his name now? I don't remember. I don't remember. He's the guy that came in and lockdown. The next guy y'all roll out, we're going to put y'all on the STEP program. Yeah. And it was like, yeah, but we've had the least amount of assaults out of it, of assaults. We roll people out so they don't get jumped. Hey, yo, Dylan, I want to show you something, bro. I want to show you something, bro.
Yeah.
You remember this? This was the Bible that you gave me, within a day or two. Yeah, yeah, you gave me that Bible. I still have it. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I made a whole bunch of notes in here the entire time we were there. I don't know if you're going to be able to see any of this. But I made a ton of notes, man. They were encrypted notes, so I could tell the sheriff what was going on. But I can't even find any of the pages that have notes now. But yeah, I used it the whole time as my notebook, my encrypted little notebook. But speaking of which, Ratchet. Let's talk about Ratchet for a second. So that's interesting that you said that when you saw him up in G-Unit, y'all fist bumped each other. Awkward fist bump. Boom. Anyway, right. Shameless plug. But so he told you that. But I remember when our show was first out, you know, we're now talking about it's been over a year and a half ago. He was on IG, Instagram, man, and he was trying to get his little 10 minutes of fame, bro. And I get it. I'm not even mad at Ratchet about it. But he was talking because the whole world turned on him. Like, at first, he was getting all this support and all this love from the fans. And the moment y'all got in the fight, like, everybody turned on him. I started seeing screenshots. So then it was like, no. He was like, no, man, they were talking all sorts of smack about me. And I told him, you better get my name out of his mouth and this, that, and the other. And that's what led to the fight. I was like, okay, Ratchet. Right. All right. Right. All right, buddy.
This is Ratchet. Like, I was watching that video on YouTube and, like, I was scrolling down the comments and a couple of people had said, like, made remarks like, oh, that's a weak move that Dylan did, taking his socks off and his shirt off at the stairs, kind of like signaling the cops. I just want to say, man, like, that's not even what it was, man. When you're in that situation and you're mad and you're heated, bro, I'm at all costs. I'm doing whatever it takes. So I just seen a couple of those comments, man. I just want to clear the air, like, I ain't never been a ref, so
hey,
keep that yourself.
Dude, Dylan, funny, man. Yo, Dylan, you used to get so mad, bro.
Bro, I'm a hothead, bro.
Bro, you used to get so hot, bro. I used to be like, Dylan, calm down. You're like, man, you the only one I can calm down for. You the only one I ever calm down for. Anybody else can get this work. I don't give a fuck. I used to be like, man. I love him, man.
I love you too, brother.
People don't even know, man. Like, you, Willie, all of us, man. I said it, bro. Y'all are realer than most motherfuckers I done met that's free. You feel me? Like, I done met a lot of people in my life, man. I done a lot of things, man. You know, we done talked about it, NJ, all the things, all the people I know, you know, all the shit I do, like, I've yet to meet.
You really know LeBron? Remember, you're telling me, yeah, me and LeBron, we you're like me and LeBron homies, bro. Like, we really be out there.
Actually, how I actually met him was through two of his best friends, Drew Joyce and Romeo Travis. That's who I met when I went to college. Yeah, so yeah.
That's tight, man. Remember, I was like, bro, you got to introduce me, bro. I got to meet him.
Yeah, a lot of people. Ted Ginn, a lot of people, bro. A lot of people.
So let's take a second since we have Dylan here, David, if you don't mind. Dylan, I want to tell you there's a reason why I'm going here, and I'm going to explain it. Ever since the show's gone off, David has got so much hate. I've posted on social media where I said, look, I promise you, you guys are reacting on what you see, but not necessarily what really happened.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go ahead and clear the air. First of all, I never had a beef with you because so many people are like, dude, you were doing so good and you would have killed it, but then David screwed it up. And I'm like, no. I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not gonna complain. If they wanted to pull me out because they pulled you out and because of B-Shaw, do you even know what happened with B-Shaw, bro? Oh, golly, he hasn't gotten to that episode.
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
You want to tell him or you want me to tell him?
I'll let you tell him.
All right, so me and B-Shaw had a conversation where he told me he got into a fight in the other pod. When he mentioned Abner, I was like, you know, yeah, man, I know dude from the east side type shit on the east coast, whoopie whoop, something simple, nothing serious, you know. I already said I shouldn't have said it, but it was just in the moment, you shooting the shit, we talking back and forth, whatever. Long story short, bro, maybe like some days later, almost a week for real, because B-Shaw was in our pod for a minute. I don't know where I wake up, but I remember him kept saying, like, yo, I want to go back. This pod ain't hype like the other pod. The other pod was lit, you know, woo, woo, woo. I wake up one morning, bro. B-Shaw knew one of the guards. So he picked up on the guard and was like, hey, you know, woo, woo, woo. You know, I want to shoot my, shoot back over there. Let me throw this out there to all the fans. When you get rolled out of a pod, there is no coming back. Mm-hmm. Period. Right. Like, end of discussion. So really think about what I'm saying. B-Shaw got rolled out of a pod for fighting, and then turned around and got put back in the same pod he got kicked out of. Why is that?
Oh, my God.
Let's think about that, though, for a second. So B-Shaw go back to the pod early morning. We talking about, like, 7 a.m. got rolled out, bro. Next thing you know, unbeknownst to us, because we don't know, as we watching the episodes, you see B-Shaw like, yeah, you know, so-and-so, no so-and-so over there. Mind you, B-Shaw wouldn't even be thinking about that if somebody didn't plant that bug in his ear. You understand what I'm saying? He go over there, get that's the right. Talking, get the shooting and shit, and all of a sudden, Abner's life is in danger, and he's about to get killed. And Blase Skip, oh, and he intercepted a kite. Now, I'm going to say this to you. Brett, is there any way possible, bro? And I've been in there for them 60 days, bruh. Is it any way possible to intercept another nationality's kite, bro?
No.
He talking about he found it. It's a scene where he finds a kite sitting on the floor, and he said he intercepted it, bruh. And it said on there that it was putting a hit out on him. And I was like, are y'all fucking kidding me? That man.
Yeah, there's no way.
There's no way. I'm going to be real with you. I'm going to say this real quick, Mark. Mm-hmm. Jail ingenuity is so crazy. Like, jail is so intricate, and the system that goes on behind scenes is so – it's amazing. You can accomplish so much with so little, man. It's crazy. So intercepting a kite? Mm-hmm. Negative. No. But that's basically what happened, and that's what sparked up the whole drama, and, you know, that's once crazy, you watch man. It, you'll see, bro. You'll see after that.
Yeah, you'll see what happened, but we all got yanked out early, and basically production, or the way it was edited, it was all David's fault. And David has been a man. He's acknowledged that, listen, dude, I did say something to B-Shaw, whatever. And I apologize. He apologized at the reunion, but he's gotten so much. I think you've even gotten death threats, haven't you?
Yeah, I hope you get killed on duty. I hope you get shot. I can't believe you uphold my constitution, you fucking nigger. Hope you die. All type of shit, bro.
That's crazy, man.
And now that it's on Netflix.
Shit, then
spark back up, bro. So my inbox been going ridiculous.
Yeah, mine has too. Now that it's come out on Netflix, man, we were just, me and you and Vivian were talking about it the other day. I've probably picked up 500 new followers in the last week. So it's just like, wow, where are all you guys coming from? But but Dylan, what are you doing now, man? Like talk to us. What are your plans? Where are you going from here?
Right. So I'm in a program right now. It's a 3-month program. So I'm doing classes Monday through Friday all day. I got a class in the morning, at lunch, and at dinner. And then basically just coming back and relaxing, man. And so after this program's done, I plan to, find work, hopefully get my own spot in a place right away. So I'm trying to get my stimulus check right now and the unemployment, because we're not allowed to leave this place at all. Like, we have to stay in this facility for 90 days. So
it's like, a halfway house?
No. It's a resort. It's a resort. It's sick, man. It's really cool. Like, you would never think that coming out of prison, you could be in something like this, man. It's awesome.
That's good shit, though, bro. That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Access pays for it. So, I mean, it's really cool.
I will tell you, Dylan, you are probably as beloved, if not more loved, than any of the other participants, man, because I can't tell you when I put out that, well, first of all, during the season, and then even in the videos announcing that we were going to do an interview with you, I have had so many female fans hit me up and say, is he single? Give him my number. Give him my number.
I got a chick in my inbox right now begging for his last name. Like, damn, mm-hmm. What's his last name? I'm like, I'm not about to give you his last name. Like, she like, please, I need him. He's gorgeous. He is. Is he out? I'm like, damn. I'm like, man, no, I got to confer with him before I start giving out his information. I ain't doing that, man. Y'all crazy.
So just FYI, because you know we're going to put... We're going to put your information in the bio, both of your informations. You're going to be hit, man. You're going to be hit hard. You may want to say, do you have a girlfriend right now or no?
I do. Yeah.
Oh, you just broke thousands of young hearts, bro.
Don't care.
Yeah, they're still going to hit me up, though. That's what's crazy about it. So,
hey, I will say that. Out of all the participants, I never, and a lot of people have elevated us to some type of celebrity, which I think is stupid because I've always been down to earth. I'm probably the only one that doesn't get like any chicks hitting my inbox, and I'm married, so I'm not like mad about that. But like, I keep hearing all these other guys say, yeah, man, I'm getting all these like nudes. And I'm like, man, I'm not that I want them, but like not even one chick. Yeah. Dude.
I ain't getting no nudes.
I ain't getting no nudes either.
Okay. Well, I've heard a couple throughout the years, but I was like, man, I'm not getting any love in my box, man. Not that I would have cared one way or the other.
You're a good guy, Mark. You're a great, great, humble, caring, loving guy. Like, I'm pretty sure you don't want to go to your inbox and see
Now that we're putting this video out, there's going to be some 500-pound hairy dude by the name of like Bob, and he's going to send me a picture. Don't. I wasn't asking. I was kidding. All right,
Bob, wherever you're at, please do not do that.
Keep it in your pants, bro. No. Keep it in your pants.
No, but on a real note, like, I have been hit up by like several females, but it's more like them just saying like, hey, like, I really respect the way you carried yourself in there, and like, you handled it really good. Like, you're one of my favorites. So it's nothing too major. It's just, you know, people kind of supporting me, like telling me like they're proud that, you know, I'm out now and they're happy for me and stuff like that. So
yeah, I talked to Willie.
It's all love too.
Well, oh, when did you,
Yeah, me and Willie chopped it up for a minute, man. Then one day, out of nowhere, his phone got disconnected. I just called him like 2 days ago, but some Spanish guy answered, and he didn't really speak no English. And we chopped it up for like a hot few seconds. And I came, you know, I figured out that he wasn't, you know, he ain't had a number no more. But right. Yeah, talk to
you. That is a good point, though. Y'all remember when Willie would play? He would beat on that box and he would chant. Man. And we loved it. I don't know if you've gotten to this episode, but they highlighted on the show one of the episodes of when he was chanting one night. Remember when the officers yeah. came in and they were like, and we were like, no.
All of us were screaming and supporting.
I remember the officer, he told us, or I heard him say, because my cell was right next to y'all's cell, and I heard him tell him, man, brah, we're getting complaints, brah. No, ain't nobody complained about Willie singing. In fact, it was great, man.
I ain't gonna lie, bro. We loved it. That shit helped me out a lot in there, bro. For real. Mm-hmm. A whole lot.
Bro. He could have played every night, and I would have been perfectly content with that.
For sure.
Yeah. So, tell us, how long did you wind up doing, Dylan? Because I know there's a lot of people that hit up my inbox, and I'm like, you're gonna have to watch the interview, you know, because I'm not gonna answer the question because I'm making them watch the interview. How long did you do? What happened, if you don't mind sharing? And how long did you do?
Yeah, no. So basically, I did about 2 years and 10 months. So that was after the 60 days in show. So about 3 years.
Yeah, because I know we were there for a little shy of 60 days. I won't say. Y'all got there, what, a week before I got there?
I got there a week before everybody,
before I walked in. Yeah, I think you left on Monday, and I got pulled on Friday. So I guess we wound up doing about the same amount of time, give or minus a couple of days. But I'm not going to lie to you, man. When I was laying, like, on the bunk, I always kept a little hashtag of how many days I'd been there. I was ready to go with the end, man. I don't know how. Yeah. And
I got them all tatted on both weeks. Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I don't know how. Like, you guys that actually are in there for the duration, man. You know, I don't know. Because I'll be honest with you, 60 days was enough for me.
And I'm going to throw this out there, too, Dylan. I ain't tell you this, bro. But I was so hurt that you took that plea, man. Because that shit was whack, bro. Like. And if I could, I'm going to say this, man. The justice system is so fucked up, bro. And I've known that as a cop. I've known that as an individual. But I know it now as an inmate. Man, listen. The plea bargains, these PDs, they don't help no goddamn body, bro. You know what I'm saying? And honest to God, bro, you shouldn't have got that much time on your first offense like that, bro. Like, and then, you know, if I'm correct, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that Arizona is one of the, it's only two states in America that still require you to do what? Was it like 80-something% of your time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 85%.
Remember Josh was teaching us that. I was like, damn, for real? He was like, yeah, the government trying to like get them to go down to 65%, I believe. But like,
right.
It's a business, man. And it's so fucked up because I remember one day when the book cart would come. What was that, every Thursday? The book cart
would
come. And I asked for a law book and they didn't have any. And Josh taught me that at one time they did have law books there, but everybody was educating themselves on shit and getting out of, you know, situations. And so they took away the law books, you know, shit like that. Like, and I think people need to realize that, okay, yes, a TV show, but y'all really don't understand, like, how much went on behind the scenes, man, like, to create content and not only to create and produce content, but more so, all the good that we did. I remember Mark was teaching people how to write resumes. Like,
yep. I remember that too.
They don't even talk about the
good. They don't know how to do that. We don't know how to do that.
Listen, and I get it, it's big business, and that type of shit don't sell. Showing Mark teaching somebody how to do a resume on worldwide TV, ain't about to get no ratings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they didn't highlight, what did I write, maybe 30 resumes the entire time I was there for people. And they didn't highlight one single resume. Sad. It was all, and as I said, I understand because they have to provide something that people were going to watch. But there was so much we did in there that didn't make the final edit.
So much.
And you did it out of your heart, you know what I mean? Like, in county and in prison, man, when someone does something for someone, they always expect something in return. Like, you were like, hey, if you need help with your resume, like, I got you, come to the table. Like, you don't got to give me nothing. Like, I'm just doing this because I want to help you. So, like, that showed a lot of character for me, and that was cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate that, man. And that's because, honestly, you didn't know at the time. But obviously, I was a participant, and I didn't want, I was making friends with y'all, man, and I consider you a good friend, and I don't want y'all coming back, man. And that was really, you know, I wasn't there to get soups for resumes. I could care less about soups for resumes. It was more, right. I didn't want you to come back. And I don't remember a lot of their names, but I had a lot of guys come up to me because I don't want you coming back, man. And I know that's where David's heart was, too, is... we were there to help you guys. And, you know, it's a shame. As I said, I understand it, but it's a shame that A&E didn't show that. And I've heard that from other participants throughout. We're kind of a small family, Dylan, because I think there's been, what, six seasons, and then they did some offshoot called Narcoland, but there's so few of us that a lot of us talk. And that seems to be a consistent thing throughout the seasons is they do stuff. A lot of the participants do stuff, man, and it doesn't get shown, and it's a shame.
Yeah, just like David, man, he was the one that really inspired me to start working out, and he told me, man, just stick to it for a whole year and watch the results. And my first year and a half, I really didn't work out or nothing, but my last year, man, I really started working out. And today, man, people come up and they tell me, like, they message me, like, bro, like, can you teach me how to get stacked like that? Like, they're like, bro, you blew up, man. And that was all because of David, bro. Like, he inspired me to really want to push myself to do better. So that was cool.
Well, there you go, dude. If that's your calling, maybe it's to be a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I was vibing with everybody, bro. I had the cartel in there working out. We all was working out. It wasn't no...
yeah.
You know, you stand over here, you're not a part of my shit, or you stand over there, you're not, or we can't talk, or it wasn't like that, man. And you know, no knock on Abner, I'ma say this, but like, he blew it up as if motherfuckers just couldn't sit next to each other, talk to each other, you know, you couldn't watch TV together, dominoes, you couldn't do shit. He made it seem like, bro, you couldn't do a motherfucking thing in there. Like, bro, that's not how it was, man. It was so chilled and relaxed and cool. And, you know, my main goal down there coming in there was really, truthfully, just to help people, man. Like, when people was about to fight, that was me really negotiating and me really coming in and being a mediator, man.
Something like Willie and Rocker, when they started fighting, you had a big part in.
Bro, that was crazy. Had they fought, bro, my heart would have broke, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you, man. Because I needed all of y'all while I was in there, bro. Dylan, I needed you. I needed Mark. I needed Willie. I needed Rocker. I needed Josh. I needed all y'all. That's why we was all in the same house. Like, because I ain't gonna cap, bro. I don't know if I'd have made it without y'all, bro. Be honest with you. Now, y'all, the minute I woke up and y'all was with me, bruh, I felt at ease, man. Matter of fact, remember when Willie Dude left? Remember his best friend was in there. And he ended up leaving early. And Willie was depressed, man. And naturally, I just cleaned the Willie. And me and Willie just hit it out the gate, bruh. We was solid, like, every day. And I was just like, yo. And he told me one day, like, bruh, if it wasn't for you, like, I overheard, I think Mark, you might have told me this, that when I left, man, Willie was like hurt, man. He was crushed. You know what I mean? And it's like, I was crushed leaving y'all too, though, for real. I was hurt. You know what I mean? I was ready to leave, but I wasn't ready to leave, though. You know what I mean? Like, you people don't understand the connections and the bonds that you make on a humble.
You did make a comment on the show, and you kind of said it earlier, but you said something on the show that rang true. Some of the best people I've met were at Pinal County, Arizona. We're in lockup, man. They're solid. You know they're not going to, you know, some of them are. And that's the thing, you know. People think we did the show and we're against incarceration. And there's been police officers that have done the show before that have quit their job. Look, there are some people that deserve to be in prison, period. That deserve to be in lockup, period. But most people, man, are just, they need to, let's hit that root cause. What's causing them to reoffend? What's causing them to do these drugs? Because a lot of people in there were there for possession, for drug sales. But a lot of the drug sales weren't because they wanted money. It was because that was how they financed their own addiction. So I'm not against prison, but I just think there needs to be a better solution than incarcerating everybody. And yeah, there are people that deserve to be there. But
hey, Mark, you remember the dude who got locked up in Dillon? Now you remember the black dude who got locked up for feeding a cow, bro?
I remember him, dude. Golly, I don't even remember his name. He was like crazy. Tall,
dark skinned, little kind
of. Yep, he was dark skinned, kind of tall, dude. Yeah.
Kind of fit, though. He was all right, though. He worked and stuff. They hit him with trespassing, man. And I was like, for feeding a cow?
Golly, and he was there a while.
Yeah, some weeks. And then he went to court. And when he went to court, he found out his PD was on vacation for another week. So the judge was like, yo, this, I really want to like dismiss this and throw it out, which a judge can do, bruh. Let's throw that out there. A judge can do that. All right. But he was like, you got two choices. You can either sit it down for another week until your PD come back, and then we'll throw the case out, or you can get these 3 years probation. And guess which ones he took, bro?
3 years probation.
How fucked up is that?
Crazy, man.
Dude, Dillon, do you remember that crazy, because I've asked David before, and I can't remember that crazy Chicano older guy that Rocker wound up hitting? You remember what his name was? Y'all remember? Golly, you...
Nah.
He used to be like...
Or he was a paisa. He used to be
like, Keole.
Yeah, I don't remember. Dang.
His name, Keole. Remember he killed his wife and kids or some shit? Something crazy. He killed his
wife.
And
he had done like 40 years, and he was just there for some little stuff, and then he was going home. And then Rocker rocked his world. It was like, really, dude? It was like, he's an old man, dude.
That was the day. Yeah. That was the day I had the conversation with Bratcher about the pod.
Yep.
Which we're not going to talk about that, because that ended up becoming something that it shouldn't have became, and something that didn't happen. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, y'all, I think we're going to go ahead and bring this to an end. Is there anything else you guys want to discuss before we wrap this up? Okay. Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say, yeah, just like with the whole David situation, man, all y'all guys, man, he didn't put me in no danger, man, so y'all can quit thinking that, man. I made that decision on my own, and I just want to say I love you guys, and thank you for supporting me, and keep watching, man. That's all I got to say.
Dillon, if our fans want to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you? Go ahead, and we'll put it obviously at the bottom, but go ahead and tell them how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, well, so my Facebook and my Instagram are both the same. It's my first and last name, Dillon Hallam, DILLONHALLAM. So you can reach me there.
Okay, outstanding. David, how about you, brother?
We'd like to end this by saying, Dillon, love you to death, man. I appreciate you from day one, bro, up until right now. If you ever need anything, you got my number. You need anything, bro, I got it. You good. You ain't got to struggle. You ain't got to worry about nothing, man. You know what I mean? Like, love you to death, man. I'm happy that you out. I'm happy that you changed. I'm glad that I could be a part of that change, too, man, for real. It make me feel good. It made me feel like I have some form of a purpose, for real. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Mark, you already know how we rock. We've been rocking since day one, too. So that go without being said. And you can follow me on Instagram at @that_Jamaican_Sigma on Instagram. You know, and then it is IMD_dot.
Awesome. I love both of you guys. Like, seriously, man. Like, you know, me and you, David, have been, as you said, rocking since the beginning, and I've always loved you, Dillon, and it broke my heart the way you exited, and I was so glad. Like, you don't understand, and David will vouch for me, bro. I was so excited when I heard from you, and I heard you wanted to get in touch with me, And like the first thing I did as soon as I got done with chatting with the female friend of yours was guess what, David? And he's like, no. And so awesome. So, but look, dude, nothing but love here. Once again, you got my contact information. Y'all follow both of these guys, man. They're both solid. I'm telling you, whether you like David or not, I'm telling you, he's my boy, period. Point blank, period. Same thing with Dylan. These are my people, man. Y'all make sure to follow them. Once again, thank you for tuning in. Make sure to like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. And I will talk to y'all later. Boom.
Love you guys.
Lay too, bro.